Romans 12. Good to see you in God's house. Amen. On a Wednesday night. Oh, humpback. Humpback. Somebody say it's the middle. Middle of the week. Somebody say smooth sailing now. Don't forget Saturday evening prayer meeting at 6 o'clock. And 5 o'clock, that's right, 5 o'clock. Everybody say 5 o'clock. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. 5 o'clock, what do I know? I'm over here anyway, so 5 o'clock. Man, we had a great time last Saturday evening. Amen. Prayer is what makes it happen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. And let's stand for the reading of the word. We're going to read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. So let's pray. Father, thank you this evening for your word. We ask you in Jesus' name to come and touch our hearts and our minds. Holy Spirit, speak to us, through us, and for us tonight. Father, we ask for your manifest presence to come and move in the midst of us. Thank you for your precious gifts and all you do. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I thought this was interesting. I was on a Zoom meeting yesterday with Brother Todd Smith and some other ministers. We do that about once a month. And he had a young man on there from Asbury Revival. And he was talking, and they were asking him questions, just, how did revival break out at Asbury? And so the young man got up and he began to talk. He said, I just got up and started reading Romans 12 and ministered out of that for a few minutes. And then I said, anybody want to stay after service? We're going to talk about, revival, talk about, God. And he said 1,000 left, and it was 19 of them. And so that shows you that God doesn't do things necessarily by big numbers. He's just looking for willing, hungry hearts. And some of the things that we talked about yesterday, the young man was sharing, was things that I have shared with you, and especially over the last couple of weeks, I thought was really interesting about consecration, about character, about integrity, concerning revival, concerning the move of God. And I believe this is something that God is touching and God is dealing with, because I believe we're right on the cusp of something happening. Something could happen. I'm looking for something to happen any minute. Amen. Amen. I know Sunday evening I was at home and had changed and we'd grill some steaks and I'd kick back and just trying to rest from that morning. And then lo and behold, I got a phone call from Lisa back here. Lisa Clifton said, there's an 89-year-old lady that has a back problem. And her daughter wants to know if you'll come and pray with her. Is that right? Pray with her. And because her pastor's out of town. And so I said, sure, I'll come over there. So I went and changed clothes and got ready, a few hours later. And so we went over to Bassett to pray for that lady. And she was sitting on a heating pad in pain. And so we prayed for her, and she leaned forward. Then she got up. Then she started moving around. she's going like this to touch herself. She said, I think I'm going to the bathroom. So she took off down the hall. And man, she was moving for an 89-year-old woman. I said, my God, she moves as good as I do. There's nothing wrong with her. And God really touched her. Praise God. God healed her. Amen. In her back. And what a marvelous thing. 89 years old. Praise the Lord. Somebody say God is good. Unexpected things can happen. Amen. And so I kind of wanted to go through this Romans chapter 12 a little bit right here. And in light of, just looking for God to break out and do something. And so we're just asking questions, you know, what was it like before, you know, that God moved, and what were some of the things that happened while God moved, and what were the manifestations? And these are things that people ask all the time. But, you know, I'm like, you know, we have seen all of those manifestations down through the years and been in moves of God here, great moves of God. But I really believe that this move that he's getting ready to do is going to be something absolutely different. And from what the Lord has done. And I think it's going to take holiness. That's one of the things that we addressed yesterday, holiness. And, you know, just pressing into the presence of God and, you know, being available to him. Dying to self. Everybody say dying to self. And so the Apostle Paul starts off, he said, I beseech you. This word beseech comes from the Greek word that means I call you near, because he's got something important to say. And I believe this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit is saying. I want you to draw near to me, okay? Because all scriptures God breathed. Somebody says God breathed. Draw near to me. Draw near to me. In other words, it's an invitation, okay? So as Paul is writing this, I believe we have to look at it like it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. You want revival, you want a move of God, then these are some of the things that you got to do as you press into it. Amen. Because it's a lot of demand upon you when revival breaks out and you're here and you have to support. Somebody say you have to support. Amen. It means to call to one side. It means to summon. It means to address. And it's like an exhortation or an entreaty. It's admonishing. So Paul is saying this when he uses that terminology. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And he's telling his people, and he really wants them to understand, first of all, he's appealing to their heart. How many has Jesus done something to? Four. Excuse, not two, but four. And two. Amen. I mean, you didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. God just came. You're just a rotten, low down, no good for nothing sinner on your way to hell. Jesus died for you on the cross. On the cross. He suffered. I think sometimes we forget this, that, you know, we look at the cross, but we don't comprehend it. He felt every nail. He felt all the pain. He felt all the anguish, all the suffering. I was talking to Deborah yesterday and I said, yeah, Jesus hated funerals. He never attended one. As far as I know, never attended one. Everyone he went to, he raised the dead. So if you're dead tonight, be raised up in Jesus' name. Amen. And so Paul, when he's talking here, you know, I beseech you by the mercies of God. He's really appealing to your heart, your emotional side, so that you will look and see what Jesus has done for you, because he's getting ready to say some things that are very powerful, but they're also meant you know, to probe you into the depths of your spirit so that you will long for more of God. Be more committed to him. Somebody say committed. Amen. And says, he's telling them, he says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Everybody say to present. To present. That means that we're going to bring our bodies before God and present them to him. When they came and brought offerings in the temple and they brought them to God, they brought them and they presented them to him. And so it's the same way with us. We come, we present our bodies, these temples to God, these bodies that God can use. Amen. He wants to use you as an individual to touch other people's lives. And so this is what happens to happen before these things take place. He's saying, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body. Bring it to God. Come and put it on exhibit before him. Why? Because he doesn't want you diseased. He doesn't want you spotted. He doesn't want you to be wrinkled. Somebody say amen. Amen. He wants you to come and exhibit your body to God, to show yourself before the Lord, to present your body to Almighty God. So, it means to place beside or near, to set at hand, to present. And I thought this was interesting, because when you bring yourself as a sacrifice and you present yourself before the Lord, one of the things that he's asking you to do, look at the cross. Look at the cross. Jesus presented himself a living sacrifice on the cross. He's trying to put you in light of that, or in the shadow, when the Greek means in the shadow of that, so that you will look at that cross and see yourself and say, I don't want to bring a spotted sacrifice. I don't want to be an unwilling sacrifice. I don't want to be wrinkled. I don't want to have blemishes all over me. Jesus didn't. Jesus came as an unspotted lamb. He came without blemish before God. He presented himself upon the cross. It was there that the Father made him to be sin. So when Paul is talking, he's telling us, look at the cross and look at yourself. Are you bringing a worthy sacrifice to present before God? Amen. Am I giving him my best prayer time? Am I giving him my best devotion? Am I giving him my best consecration? Am I giving him a character that's unflawed? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, you coming to Jesus, because I don't want to try to put you under, law or something that God doesn't intend for you to be under. But at the same time, I want you to understand, when he's talking about you being a living sacrifice, he's wanting you first to look at Jesus. My God, that we pale in the face of that. But at the same time, it's like, if I'm going to bring Jesus something, I'm going to bring him my best. My very, very best. I want to bring him my very, very best. And he's telling us, he said, I want you to present your bodies. And this is interesting. You've heard me teach on this before, where it talks about body, because the word is soma and it means a slave. Your body is a slave. Amen. So what does that mean? My body does what I tell it to do. It goes where I tell it to go. It eats what I tell it to eat. It says, whatever I'm saying is coming out. My body is my slave. Amen. So therefore, it's like Paul talked about. He said, we buffet our bodies. We beat our bodies. We beat them into subjection, because we do. We do. This flesh man does not want to die, does it? It dies a violent, violent death. But the more that we can die to self, the more that God can use us. The more capacity we give God to fill us with himself. Somebody say amen. 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 And so he says, bring yourself as a living sacrifice, and this is a great word right here. It's dicea, and it is you are the victim. You're the one, okay, that comes to God, and so you come and you're living and you're breathing. And the whole key to this is, because what happens to sacrifices when you bring them into the temple? They slaughter them. They kill them. Put them to death. Bind the sacrifice. Bind it to the horns of the altar. Because the last thing that little innocent sheep wants to do is die. Amen. Last thing Jesus wanted to do is die. He went to the garden and wrestled with it. Did he not? It was there. He said, Father, not my will, but thine will be done. Remember, he prayed. He said, what did he say? Same thing that we would say. He was a human being. What did he say? He said, Father, if it's possible. And then that the way we want to pray some, God, if it's any other way, if I don't have to fast all that, God, just please, let me do something else. Lord, do you really want me to read that much of the Bible? Do you really want me to be a student of the word that might mean, God, it's killing me. It's killing me. God said, that's exactly right. That's what it's supposed to do. It's designed to kill you. Amen. So that life can come out of you. Amen. Amen. Everything, the rigonomics of Christianity, that we do are meant to, the arduous things that we do are making us better soldiers. Amen. I don't think of any soldier just actually, a Marine or whatever, goes into basic training, hoping to go through hell week at the end and come out of that and survive. Amen. It's hard, difficult. And so it is with us. And he's telling us, he says, number one, he said, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Now, this is what's so amazing. Sound like an oxymoron, but it's so amazing is that, kill yourself, but stay alive. Isn't it crazy? God said, I want you to kill yourself, but I want you to live. But I want to kill you so that I can live through you. Paul said, I want to know him. I want to know him to the point that, you know, that I die to me, and the life that I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Have his life flowing through me, because it is impossible to have the life of God flow through you without you being dead. Amen. Without you being dead. And I think about what Paul said, you know, when, you know, in the book of Romans, you know, he's speaking about death and dying to self and those things. And he said, the good that I want to do, he said, I find myself doing the bad stuff. He said the bad that I want to do, he said, that's what I do. That I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God that through Jesus Christ it can be done. Amen. See, with my spirit I serve God, with my flesh, with my body I serve the flesh. And so it's important, you know, Paul's wrestling. He's not telling us that, you know, that just try to look at yourself like, you know, like just a spirit and separate yourself from your body. He says, no, I don't want you doing that. He said, I want you to understand that your spirit, your soul, and your body are closely related. Amen. And he said, I want you to die to you. I've got to die to me so that he can live. So that Jesus can live. Somebody say, so that he can live. Amen. So you come as a living sacrifice. You're dying. It's a dying process. Everybody say a dying process. And so this young man was sharing. He said the crushing and the dying and all of this stuff, you know, that we went through. He said that's what the focus was. He said we took the green room and we turned it into a sacrifice room, where we come and we sacrifice everything to the Lord. Because everybody knows what a green room is, right? It's where you go in, you got a guest coming, and you got food and what have you there to serve people. He said, but we took our green room, and we took our cell phones, and we took all that stuff. And he said, we just took it all, and we made it a sacrifice room. Committed everything to Jesus. And he said, I'm going to tell you, he said, it was hard. It was very, very, very difficult. And he was talking about the crushing process that he had gone through. And he said 3 years ago that he had lost his daughter. And this was a young man, probably in his 30s, somewhere around there. And he said, I actually called the people in the school after revival had broke out and said, I'm resigning. He said, I'm resigning. He said, because I just don't feel like I'm just worthy. I don't feel like I, you know, just. And so he resigned. And God worked it out, you know, for him. But he also said that he was a worship leader, and that he said he resigned from leading worship because he said he was too much into him and not God. And he said he resigned from that. And then he said, here now, all of a sudden, God's using me, taking me everywhere to speak to people. And he says that there's like, I think that they've sent forth like a 100 teams or something like that out of the college to minister to people there at Asbury. And it was asking him, you know, about, you know, why did revival stop? And most of us know this because we've talked about some of these things, is that, you know, because of the people parking and the loitering and the trash and all, the school just could not handle it. And he said, but now the revival is spread because of the teams going out and so forth. But he said the most difficult thing was for people to die. And it is. Die so that Christ can live through us. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so he says, we're to present our bodies holy. Everybody say holy. 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 That means from the word hagios, and it means physically pure, morally blameless, consecrated to God, to be a holy child of God, to be a holy saint. A holy saint. And that was one of the things that they said that they were pursuing. And that's one of the things that I have been talking about here, is pursuing holiness and those things, because I think it's important to have that ingrained in us because of what's coming. What's coming. Because I really believe, you know, one of our mandates that God had given us is the LGBTQ. And I don't know how that's going to go down and how exactly God is going to do it. But those are vile, unclean spirits. And if you're not holy living and have righteousness through Christ Jesus, and you're not serious about your life, this stuff can get on you. Amen. You'll find yourself dealing with stuff and thinking thoughts and having things going on. And you'll say, my God, where's this coming from? And so now is the time to be holy, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, to build your character, to build up your spirit man in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so he says, build yourself up, present your bodies holy, holy to God. Be holy to God. Amen. And so he's talking about being blameless, innocent, guiltless, above reproach, beyond criticism, above suspicion, irreproachable, unimpeachable, in the clear, not to blame, without fault, faultless. Man, these are powerful words. Amen. Impeccable, sinless, unblemished, spotless, stainless, untarnished, squeaky clean. Wow. And this is what God is telling us in his word right here. He said, look, present your bodies holy unto the Lord. Squeaky clean. Amen. Squeaky clean. Squeaky clean. I know that Deborah gave me a little cloth, you know, to wash your face with. And man, you use that soap. And when you use that little cloth, your face squeaks because you're so clean. Squeak. I said, it feels like a squeegee, man. That thing is... I looked in the mirror. I couldn't see my eyes or my nose. I had to go back, put the thing back on. I'm just kidding. That's really squeaky clean. Somebody say amen. I'd have made my nose a little smaller if I could have done that. So these words are powerful here. Now, I want you to get this because this is so important. Because I think it has to do with atmosphere. And this is one of the things that he said. He said, we made up our minds that we would not talk about anybody. Nobody. Somebody say, not talk about anybody. And I think that is so powerful. I was talking to an individual last evening on the phone, and we were just sharing some things. I said, I don't talk about other churches. And I don't talk about people. I don't do it. I said, it's unprofitable, and the Lord's not pleased with it. And so it's important, you know, for the atmosphere. But everybody say atmosphere, because you don't want familiarity. And I think Brother Hughes even touched on familiarity maybe a couple of weeks ago, you know, when he was speaking. Because when you get familiar and you get revival tired, it's easy to get familiar and open this thing up and say things before you talk. I mean, before you think. Amen. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And so these things are important, especially because, listen, God is going to pour out his spirit. He's already pouring out his spirit. And see, he wants us to be ready for the levels of anointing that are coming, but he wants us to be ready for the level of the demonic that's going to come that we're going to see set free. Because in a holy atmosphere, unholy has to fall. Amen. 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 So the sacrifices of God, they were to be pure, without spot, without blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. You know, because we want to present our bodies to God, acceptable to him. Somebody say acceptable to him. Acceptable to him. So God's requirements are different from man's requirements. Amen? Because we don't want to place, like I said, I don't want to place you in bondage, but at the same time, I want you to understand what the scripture is talking about. And so I want to read it from a different translation. I don't want to read it from the Message and a couple other translations. And this is what Paul says from the Message. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, place it before God as an offering, embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. That sounds pretty good. Amen. And the Amplified says it like this. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and worship to God. And then the Passion says it like this. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? to surrender yourselves to God, to be His sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights His heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, one of the things that we're talking about yesterday was the Gen Z generation. And he said, because there's a lot of Gen Z's up there in an area, and this is the generation that needs God's help. Amen. He said, they want you to tell them the truth right up in their face. That's what they want. That's what this young man said. He said, they don't want anything sugar-coated because they can tell it. They want you to be right in their face with the truth of God's word. Unyielding, unbending, just preach that word. Tell them the truth. Somebody say, tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Amen. And I thought that was really powerful, because truth transforms people. I mean, that's the only thing that can change lives. And the devil surely tried to bury it in this nation, but you can't bury truth. It'll always resurrect itself. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And then in verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And be not conformed. Everybody say, be not conformed. Be not conformed. To conform yourself to another's pattern or fashion. And I think the body of Christ has a lot of issues right here. I think far too many people have issues right here. We always are chasing the world's fashions. Amen. And I'm all for being up on the cutting edge and being modern and using everything that we can use to reach people. But at the same time, this is telling us don't be dependent on that. Light shows don't deliver people. Concerts don't deliver people. You know, it's just that bands don't deliver people. The only thing that can deliver people is the power of the truth. Knowing the truth will make you free. Somebody say amen. Amen. So do not be conformed. Don't be conformed. Everybody say, do not be conformed to this world. To this world, its fashions and its ways. Amen. I think even in ways of deliverance, I'm setting people free. I think it's so important because it's so trendy. You know, when you look at TV, the advertisements, the programs, the shows, and everything else, most of them lean toward Eastern religions, New Age. They lean that way, the progressive Christians. They lean that way. And so I think it's important to stick to the truth of the Word of God, you know, when ministering. And don't allow yourself to just to be conformed to the world and do things the way the world does. Amen. And one of the other things that I think it's important that he didn't bring it up, but we were talking about it yesterday, and that is not to be a copycat. Amen. Not to be a copycat. I think it's all right to get information off the internet, but at the same time, I don't think it's all right to just always seek your information from there. Amen. I know I'm working on my book, and I was just working on it last night and just writing because the line, you know, we're gatherers and disposers of other men's thoughts, and this is one of the places right here where we can get messed up in conforming to the world. Because if we're just gatherers and disposers of other men's thoughts, I want to know how they got their thoughts. And what are their thoughts based on? Because God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And I think in much of Christendom today, sad to say that in a lot of churches, there's a lot of that that goes on. You know, they take great stock in Dr. So-and-so said this and Dr. So-and-so said this. I think you need to stack on it Dr. Death. Amen. I know right now, especially in Pentecostal ranks, there's some issues. I'm like, dear God, man. I said, you sound like people in a sandbox playing. Don't forget to cover up like a cat does when you leave. Somebody say amen. I think a cat's smarter than they are. Amen. But do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed. Do not be conformed. This is what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, be holy in all manner of conversation, your Christian walk, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Be transformed. You think about the people that you talk to that claim to be Christian, and they got all this baggage that they carry around that they say has to do with Christianity that has nothing to do with Christianity. You ever met somebody like that? Amen. And so these are people that have become conformed to the world. Are you listening? Become conformed to the world. And so he's given a dire warning here. He said, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Everybody say, be transformed. Transform, metamorpho. You know, go through a transfiguration like Jesus did on that mountaintop. He says, you know, go through a metamorphosis, a change, a transfiguration in your mind, in your own life. To change, it really means to change into another form. And that's what happens because he says, number one, for you to do all this stuff that I've talked to you prior about, he said, what's going to have to happen is you're going to have to renew your mind. Be a transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can only change yourself into another form as far as God goes and what he wants out of you by being in the Word of God and staying in that Word and staying in that Word and staying in that Word until it changes you. Amen. I remember what Jerry Savelle said many years ago, and they were talking about this. They had him on a program yesterday, and he brought this up again. He said that when he would read the Bible, he said he would get tired and go to sleep. And he said he didn't. He said he tried all kinds of things to try to stay awake, so finally he went and sat on the edge of the bathtub, filled it full of cold water. He said, okay, if you go to sleep now, you're going to fall in, you're going to get a rude awakening because you're going to fall into that water and get woke up. Somebody say amen. But see, he's talking about discipline and reading the Word. In order for our minds to be changed, because, you know, when you get to reading the Scripture, if you read the Bible very little, if you start reading it a lot, you're going to find out how conformed you really are to the world. The reason that we hang on to habits and do things and are stubborn about it is because we have not been in the Word. Because you stay in that Word long enough. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know, last year, at the beginning of the year, I was listening, and Oral Roberts, you know, they said it, Oral Roberts said that he read the New Testament, three times. He said he read it in the Amplified Version. He said he read it three consecutive times. So I said, daggone, I'm going to do that because I want some of that Oral Roberts anointing. Yes. If that does something for you, I want to do it. So I read it. And Deborah T, I'm just every morning I read chapters and chapters. I read. Since I started doing that over a year ago, I'm saying, my God. And I always thought of myself to be really clean and all this kind of stuff. And I told you this Sunday morning, and I don't live a bad life. I'm not saying I'm living in sin, but there's things that God started dealing with me about in his Word. He said, look, I am creating a capacity in you for you to be able to handle what I want to do with you. And I have had to let go of this and that and surfing on the internet and looking at this and looking at that. And it's nothing bad, nothing bad. It's just that God said, Give me that. And so it's really undergoing a metamorphosis. You're going under a change. And so the more that I've read that Word, I'm like, you know, my God. I said, you know, all things are expedient, but all things are not needful. I can do that, but I'd rather have this than that. It comes down to choices then. Because you can follow Jesus, you can be saved, you can have a good time, you can fall out in the Holy Ghost, you can speak with tongues, you can sing songs, you can get goosebumps 10 miles high, you can do all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you, it's those intimate moments when you begin to get transformed that God in heaven takes you places and does things of you and does things in you that you can get no other way than to go delving into this Word, staying in it, getting transformed, changing into another form. changing into another form. That's powerful. Somebody say, that's powerful. Mm-hmm. So we're light and glory, the scripture says. And I believe that glory is supposed to shine. Somebody say, amen, amen, amen. So renewing the mind often requires us to deprogram ourselves. Gatherers and disposers of other men's thoughts, we go in and we find us, man, I picked that up and I picked this up and I picked that up, and it's time to start laying aside every weight and sin that would so easily beset me and get rid of it. Somebody say, get rid of it. Amen. Get rid of it. And so you think about this, you know, he's telling us that your thinking's got to change. And he uses this word, he said, by renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. It's like a renovation. The word in the Greek there is renovate. It's like when you go into a house, you ever watch that DIY stuff? Especially Homes on Homes, you ever watch them? I say, my God, if he comes to your house, forget it. He's tearing it down. You might think it's all right. He'll gut the whole thing, and before you know it, the house is missing. And he starts from scratch. He said, well, that right there ain't right, and this ain't right, and that ain't right, and that ain't right. I said, please don't come to my house. And he rips it all out and redoes everything. And see, that's kind of the way the Holy Spirit is when he really gets a hold of us, because he says, well, this has got to go, and that's got to go, and this got to go, and that's got to go, and this got to go. And I know you're just like me, one of those persons, man says, wait a minute, can I hang on to that? I like that picture. I like that vase. I like this, you know, little things that we want to hold on to in life. But the Holy Spirit said, no, get rid of it. Somebody say, get rid of it. Amen. And so, you know, I remember years ago, listen, when I got born again, and just God hungry for Jesus. And so there were some people that in a church that was around that came out, and they took all the TVs and shot them with a shotgun. Just blew the TVs up. And so I said, well, that's a little extreme, a little extreme. And, you know, and so forth. But anyway, I said, well, I'm not one going to blow my TV up. But I just quit watching TV. I didn't watch TV for about 7 or 8 years. And I missed entire sitcoms. People say, you ever seen that? I said, what is it? I missed it altogether, man. It's like that big chunk is gone out of me, and people talk about those programs, and I'm like, no, I didn't have it. But God had me doing other things. He had me deprogramming, because I had come out of sin, and I needed to be reprogrammed. I had to get transformed and renewing of my mind. And so because I was tormented, I had all kinds of stuff going on, man, but Jesus got all that mess out of me. Renovated. Everybody say renovated. 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 So our thinking has to change. And I think also religious people, everybody say religious people, Church of God, religious people need to change, because they look through Church of God glasses, Assembly of God glasses, Pentecostal Holiness glasses. Amen. They look through different kinds of glasses. And when you look through religious glasses, you're going to be a gatherer and a disposer of other men's thoughts. That doesn't mean that everything's bad. I mean, it's like, you know, they taught us and, you know, told us in school, said, well, just, you know, eat the meat and, you know, pick through it and throw out the bones. What they say is a lot of bones and some of that stuff. I was like, I'm going to say, is there anything left that we can eat? Amen. And so this is why we need a Bible. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because God's word is transformative. Hebrews 4:12. Listen, for the word of God, it's quick, somebody say it's alive, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, is the discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. Amen. It discerns your what? Thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. Amen. And the ESV translation says it like this: for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And then the message. God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything with a doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Wow. So he's telling us, he said, You need a renovation. You need your mind renewed. Somebody say renewed. 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 And so I think one of the things tonight that I want to touch on right here closing, because the last thing I say is what you'll remember, is that we've got to change the way we view church. You think it happens right here. It does not happen right here. It happens in here in you when you come. Somebody say, I am a carrier. I am a carrier of the glory of God. Man, if I, you know, they used to have the mourner's benches outside years ago, and people would come and get it right at the mourner's bench before they came inside the sanctuary. Amen. And when they came inside the sanctuary, that's where the glory and the fire fell. And so that's what we want. And so we want our minds renewed to respect us like this. Monday, Tuesday, all the way through Saturday evening at a 5 o'clock prayer meeting is that we come to that point and that place where we say, I am bringing the presence of God with me today. Amen. I'm not looking for the presence to hit me when the praise team is singing two songs. I'm looking to bring the presence of God with me. I want His presence every day. Man, if I don't have His presence every day, I just can't make it. I got to have it. In the mornings when I'm praying, I said, I ain't getting up until you touch me. Amen. But see, we have to renew our mind to the point that we understand I am the church. I am the body of Christ. The gates of hell shall not prevail against me. I am the one that's going to raise hell's gates. I'm going to see them destroyed through Jesus Christ. And I'm coming to church today with the frame of mind. And I want you to understand what I'm saying. When you create that kind of an atmosphere where you know that you're bringing the presence of God, and somebody else is bringing the presence of God, and somebody else is bringing the presence of God, and somebody else is bringing the presence of God. Listen, I'm not bringing my argument that happened with my wife. I'm not bringing my argument that happened between me and my kids. I'm not bringing the argument or the bad time that I had with whatever happened to me. I'm not bringing that stuff in. I'm coming, shedding. I have shed that. I'm bringing the presence of God, and I'm entering His courts of thanksgiving and into His presence with praise. And when I get here, I'm church happening. I'm not going to come in and wait for somebody to move me if you can. I'm coming in here to be ready. Why am I telling you this? Because when you remember when they dedicated the temple and Solomon prayed and all this stuff, the Bible said they were all in one mind and one accord. And when that happened, what happened? The glory fell. Everybody was prostrate on the ground. Somebody say, amen. Amen. See, if we renew our mind with this kind of understanding, is that when I come, did you understand that it creates a vacuum at the doors? That sinners that ride up and down the highway, people sitting in their homes, and people that have been thinking about coming to church, and those that you've invited, now that you've renewed your mind and got yourself right with God in the respect that you're coming and you're believing God for the glory and the manifest presence of God, those people are going to be sucked in here by the vacuum of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. But I gotta go through a metamorphosis. I gotta go through some change. I gotta say, my God, you know, because it's like this, you know, I'm just saying, I'm not gonna keep going through the same old scenario all the time, man. I'm bringing fire. Pastors, I'm always bringing fire. I'm looking for you to bring some fire. Do you know if we'd all pull a log on it, it'd make a bigger fire? Come on, somebody. Oh, yeah. If somebody came with your own gas can and your own olive oil and your own log and had it all burning, think what kind of fire that we could get going. Hallelujah. Amen. You couldn't stop it. No. I said you couldn't stop it. You couldn't stop that. And so that it's so easy for us to do, to get in that frame of mind. It's like, man, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of God. I was glad. By the way, first and third Sunday nights is what we're going to be doing. Okay, first and third Sunday nights. And, you know, so you need to mark that down on your head and in your calendar. That's what we're going to be doing, first and third Sundays. And so if we come in that frame of mind, there's going to be so much momentum in the Holy Ghost, there's no telling what will happen. Amen. I said no telling what will happen. Amen. Because the blind eye will see. See, this is one of the things that this brother was talking about at Asbury. He said, well, you know what happened? He said, have y'all seen any manifestations or anything like this? And I told, you know, I was talking to Deborah. I said, most people have never been in a move of God. They wouldn't know it if it walked in a polka-dotted suit and slapped them upside the head. And I said, your average person out here, if they came here in some of our services, they would think that God, that heaven opened up and God came down and just boom. Amen. The thing about it, it's easy to get spoiled. God doesn't like spoiled children. He likes hungry kids. He likes you to eat all the spiritual flapjacks you can get with syrup on them. Somebody say amen. And so he, you know, God's cooking it. You know, he's saying, hey, bring it. Bring that hunger. Draw it. Draw it out of God. Draw it from him. Somebody say, I'm going to get hungry. And so do what? I got to renew my mind. 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 I can't have a drudgery thought in my mind. I cannot have a negative thought in my mind. I'm not going to do anything but talk about the glory and the presence of God. I'm going to get focused on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get focused on the heart of my God that I might please him. Amen. That I might prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God, which is my reasonable worship. Amen? Amen. So how many going to do that? Amen? We all got to think the same thing. Amen. That glory came when they all got in one mind and one accord. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we want to be in one mind and one accord. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Is that right? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came, been here for 2,000 years. But just think, if everybody's brought their log and everybody's oiled it down, if everybody came and they're throwing another log on the fire, it makes things happen in the spirit. Amen. Amen. Can't make God do anything, but I'm going to tell you one that right now, he's attracted to hunger. He's attracted to people that love him. Kashe. He's attracted to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's attracted to it. And he's attracted to people who say, God, I'm like Evan Roberts. You show me anything I need to do to get that happening. I want to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to confess every known sin. That's what he told Roberts. He said, I want to get rid of all that stuff that would separate between me and you. And he went for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together right now. Hallelujah. 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 Lay hands on yourself. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, ooh, move in me. I pray, Holy Spirit, I need you to stir me up. I'm reaching out to you, and I thank you right now. You said, when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I build up my most holy faith. I believe everything I need is found in you and through you and by you. Holy Spirit, I give myself to you. I give myself to you. Do whatever you want to do. Have your way. I'm hungry for you. I pray for more hunger, more desire. I ask you to have your way. In Jesus' name, oh Father, for your great name's sake, have your way. Right here in this place, we want to see you set free Gen Z generation, the LGBTQ. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know one thing. I'm going to get hungry like I've never been hungry. I'm going to get devoted. I'm going to be that sacrifice. Here I am, Jesus. If you can use me in any way, I give myself to you right now, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is my reasonable worship. I give myself to you. I don't want to be conformed to this world. I pray that I'll be transformed by the renewing of the mind. I'm going to come in this place. Remind me, Holy Spirit. Remind me. I'm coming into this house and I'm bringing the presence of God. I'm coming into this place on fire. I'm coming into this place ready to worship you, God. Oh, thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Just worship him a few minutes. Thank you, Jesus. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Matter of fact, I feel like healing's flowing in here right now. I do. I feel healing in here. Bande ke reste boncha. Rambo fradende mastukelele mahidaya. Rast gola baderanan stabonda reste beresta gustadea. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Masteke meshe. Thank you, Holy Ghost. La mama manistoko rekeshe. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. E pranide le bobo sikitiki de la rabobo. Bande esto furin maste freben bandeste. Rabasto kula babere besto costa kila bashida mamaya. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Nera sukure keshe. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Hallelujah. Sekule ambane. Nebre neshta prampu kerene mastahaya. Sude de le na mamaniche. Trasta casta de la bobo shikara la babate. Songonda la de la bobo burete. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.